The Girl Who Never Was, Memoirs of a Survivor, by June Unknown. What color is love? How does someone like me fall in love? Before Seth, anytime I was with a man, it wasn't me. It was simply an older version of baby girl. Pleasing, appeasing, basking in the slightest hint of attention, whether it was healthy or sick, cruel or kind. After the first trial, when I spoke as myself, for myself, for the first time ever in my life, I felt different, as if there was a spark of power in me. If only I could figure out how to fan it to life. I wanted to live for me, not for someone else. Yet, I couldn't do it alone. With Seth, I didn't need to. With him, there was no constant vigilance, searching for any hint of pleasure or displeasure. He didn't hold back affection or praise or even pride. When I was with him, I felt real. I still had no idea who I was, but I could feel myself shedding the facade that was baby girl and leaving it behind once and for all. After that first trial, Seth asked me out to dinner, to celebrate. We went to a fancy restaurant. I wore my nicest dress, the one I'd bought special for Dr. Helen's funeral the previous year. And he ordered sparkling cider instead of champagne for us to toast with, since I was still underage. The menu was a bunch of curly letters I couldn't make sense of, so I asked him to order for me. After the waiter left, we sat in silence. Before this, we'd always had something to talk about. The case, Dr. Helen and how she raised me, my painting, his family, his career ambitions. He was the first and only man I'd ever felt comfortable talking with. And now, it was as if we'd just run out of words. Was this how it was for everyone? I had no idea. He didn't seem uncomfortable, not at all. Instead, he was smiling. This strange little smile I had no idea how to interpret. It wasn't lust or passion or attraction. Those I could read and encourage all too well. This was something new. And that scared me because I didn't know what to do with it. Anxiety that I might do the wrong thing churned through me, like riding that bright yellow school bus that took me away from the safety of Dr. Helen's house every day when I was a kid. His smile widened. He laid his hand over mine as if he felt my nervousness. I felt calmer, still on edge, but not ready to mentally bolt. I did that sometimes when things got overwhelming with men. Who am I kidding? I did that every time I was with a man. Like my body would go on autopilot, seducing and pleasing, knowing all the steps. And my mind would just run and hide in the dark cellar of my mind, the place Daddy would leave me when I was a bad girl. Was that true? Seth finally said. What you told the judge? Being scared all the time? I couldn't look him in the eye. I pulled my hand away and gulped down some water, almost spilling the glass when I set it back down. All around us were couples, leaning forward over candlelight, murmuring. I could almost see the invisible sexual tangos dancing between them. I knew how to dance that dance. It was practically encoded in my DNA. Usually, if a man asked me uncomfortable questions, I'd answer with my body, changing the subject to something more pleasurable for him. It never failed, but I wanted something more with Seth. And that scared me because I had no idea what to do about it. I'm not like normal people, I muttered, fascinated by the assortment of silverware laid out around my plate. Once, when I was little, before I went to Dr. Helen's, Some kids chased me out into the street, and a truck was coming. I just stood there, not afraid or anything. It almost hit me. I wasn't afraid, not at all. The foster mom, who was meant to be watching me, had gone nuts, yelled and screamed and spanked me, then locked me in my room so I wouldn't go wandering, which was fine with me. That was what I had wanted in the first place, to be left alone. Of course you weren't afraid. You'd never been close to streets or moving vehicles. You had no idea how to judge distance or speed. I still don't, but that's besides the point. No, you don't understand. I understood I was in danger. I just wasn't afraid. My heart never raced. I never felt any of the things normal people feel when they're scared. I paused. A few of the doctors, not Dr. Helen, but some of the others, they said I might be a sociopath, incapable of feeling anything, not real emotions, just whatever I learned to fake. My face still down, I slanted my eyes up to see his reaction. He wasn't repulsed or disgusted. Thoughtful. He looked thoughtful. Just like Dr. Helen had all those years ago when she helped me label my feelings. I wasn't very good with words, so we used pictures and sounds and smells to help me sort things out. I had no clue what emotions were, and I rarely ever showed anything I felt inside, not to strangers, not even to Dr. Helen, not for a long time. Fear was easy, even though I rarely felt it, just about never once I moved to Dr. Helen's house. It was stinky, wet, moldy, blacker than the darkest night, like the cellar where I went when I was a bad girl, alone in the dark. Joy was just as simple. It was bright, bright light, the way it chisels into the black as the door squeaks open and Daddy stands there, calling for me, and I race up the cellar stairs and leap into his arms. Pleasure. Pain. Those were more difficult to sort out. I had no comprehension of some of the bigger emotions. Anger, envy, lust, shame, sadness, hate. Those I didn't learn until I left Daddy. Despair was the color green, mixed with the smells of that food court and the damp of wet panties as I sat and sat and sat, waiting for Mr. Green Elephant. Contentment was a cup of hot cocoa warming my hands as I snuggled in Daddy's lap, and he brushed my hair, making me all pretty. Betrayal was the smell of doctors, and the pinch and lies that came from the nurses, who told you it wouldn't hurt a bit, and gave you shots. Love. That one was the easiest one of all. Love was Daddy. His body pressed on top of mine so I almost couldn't breathe. The way he sang to me, and I'd stand on his feet and we'd dance and dance and dance until we fell on the floor laughing. The itch of his cheek against my skin when he hadn't shaved. He was everything. Isn't that what love is? When you make someone else your everything? Dr. Helen thought that was a real breakthrough, asked me to think about one question, but I never could, kept pushing it away. If Daddy was my everything, did I really believe I was his? I hadn't thought about that in years, but now tonight, sitting in this fancy restaurant with Seth, her words kept hammering at me. But you didn't lie to the judge, Seth was saying when I tuned back in. I could tell. All those things you said about the panic when you walk out the door or around men, waking up at night, those were true. I shrugged, tried to steer him to something else. Like I said, I don't get afraid like other people. Another long pause. This was not going well. Anxiety crept over me like my old fuzzy blanket I used to hide under. Let it filter the light and the world away as I retreated. A truck almost killing you doesn't scare you, but standing up in that courtroom, being here tonight? God, I'm an idiot. He took my hand again, squeezed it, his fingers resting against my fluttering pulse. Are you okay? How do you feel? Don't panic. We can leave if you want. I looked up, surprised. No one except Dr. Helen had ever asked me that before. How did I feel? That hot rush that had given me strength in the courtroom earlier was a distant memory. Until I saw the look on Seth's face. I'm so proud of you, he said. Standing up to your fears, without ever even saying a word to anyone. You are the most incredible, the most brave person I've ever met. For the first time in years, I had a new emotion to add to Dr. Helen's chart. Pride. This, the way the angles in Seth's face melted, the soft blur of his words, the warm feeling that started in my center and spread out, making my fingers and toes tingle. This was pride. Like an addict, I wanted more. To stand for myself. To feel strong and necessary. All my life, I'd been the one who needed, who couldn't survive without someone to please. Suddenly, someone needed me, and all he wanted was for me to just be me. Fears and faults and flaws and all. And that was how we started. Seth didn't push me as I tried out my newfound independence. The only thing he refused me was sex. Not because he was playing any kind of game, but because he knew that if we were meant to be together, we'd need to learn how to create our own unique intimacy. First, on an emotional level, then on a physical one. The exact opposite of every other man I'd ever known. How could I not fall in love with him? We had our struggles. I'd fall back on old patterns. He'd get frustrated. But still, he took me home to meet his family. And I fell in love all over again. A big, boisterous clan, they immediately embraced me as one of their own. It was more than overwhelming, and I'd sometimes feel the need to retreat. But they always made space for me, giving me time and breathing room. For the first time ever, I had a family. More important, for the first time ever, I wanted to make a family. Because I knew, no matter how screwed up I was, Seth would take care of us. Any baby I brought into the world with him would be cared for and loved and tended to and safe. That was the dream come true. Too bad it didn't quite turn out that way.